6,269. That's the distance between her hometown in Saudi Arabia and her herd land in the UK. From Mecca to Cambridge, this woman has paved her own way, overcoming numerous obstacles, and has made a significant impact on the field of science. Her academic background is very impressive. King's College London, Cambridge University, Oxford, Harvard, MIT, and Toronto University. As the first woman in the Gulf region to attain a degree in biotechnology, she has excelled in her field for over two decades, dedicating herself to promoting science education, especially among the younger generation. A woman of influence. She is sought after by major international organizations for her expertise and insights into crucial contemporary issues. Beyond her scientific accomplishments, she serves as a source of inspiration with her resilience and determination, standing as a role model among the prominent figures in the Arab world. Those who know her attest to her generous spirit and strong human values, always willing to give her time. A doctor of biotechnology, UNESCO ambassador, entrepreneur, leader, and tea enthusiast, Hayat Sindi is my special guest today, and it's an honor to have her on this episode. Hayat, bonjour, and welcome to my podcast, Le Manal Show.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me. It's beautiful to be here with you. Beautiful city, Paris, always.
Yeah. How is Paris treating you?
It's a bit cold, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to have a lot of pastries because that's what I like to do in the morning.
Colder than the UK?
It's a bit cooler than the UK.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, maybe for the first time, yeah?
Yes. It was for me the first time because, you know, when I come to Paris, it's sometimes 2 degrees, 3 degrees less than UK, but this time is the opposite.
Very cold. It's good for, you know.
Yes, to keep you young.
Yes.
And no viruses.
No viruses and keeping young. And what do you like the most about France? Because I know that you come in France very often.
I'm a goodwill ambassador for sciences, especially for girls and from UNESCO. So for me, it's a very special place because here what I can meet and we have the meetings to conclude what we're going to be the plan for the next year. So when I always come here, there's always some exciting news, some plan, something we wanted to do, what country, in which city. So for me, Paris always has a, you know, beautiful place in my heart.
So that's always for work?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. You have to come just for fun.
Yeah, definitely. When I ever go to any country, I always stay 2-3 days because I love culture. I love exploring. I love to meet the locals. I love to try the food. So wherever I come to Paris, I like to stay in 2 days or 1 day extra just to see if my friends and go for nice restaurants and walks and
look at
some of the museum, yes.
And what you don't like about Paris, and be honest.
It can get very crowded. You know, sometimes it can get very crowded. I like it now in January. It's the first time I see that Paris, like, it's like not too much traffic wherever I go. But wherever I come to Paris, always like when I come to the, most of our meetings happen in summertime. So it always busy. That's the only thing, you know, I don't like about Paris.
It's like a chaos every time. Like, what the hell? Yeah. What has been the biggest lesson for you in 2023? And what are you carrying into the new year?
Oh, good question, Manal. 2023 really taught me more about how to be patient and focus and how I, you know, channel my energy because always life is challenging. And sometimes if you let go of your emotion, let go of the negative thoughts, it won't give you the light to see the beautiful things surround you and things that you have.
Yeah,
because it's always sometimes we forget about things that we have. We are so privileged, you know, health, friends, family, you know, a career, you know, I'm able to read and write. So really 2023, you know, always whenever like, you know, life is challenging, ever like you deviate a little bit. So I get focused back again to look at the positivity and channel my energy to be positive energy.
But I'm curious to know, what is your tips to stay focused and keep your energy in a good way? How do you do that?
If you have a goal.
Yeah, set a goal.
I people sometimes ask me, I mean, you are away from your family, and I'm very, very much close. I'm one of the, you know, people in a family very much attached to culture, and I love my relatives, and I love, like, if you, for example, ask me to go out for a party or you go stay with my old aunt, I would love to go stay with her because I love to make the tea with her, listen to her stories. I'm not a party type of person, but I love people. So, and people ask me, how did you manage to be away from your family? We're six of, like, we're eight children, you know, six girls and two boys.
Yeah.
And I think my passion in life, my goal in life is more than my needs. I need to be with my mom. I need to be with my sisters. That's what anybody. But sometimes, because I see my goal is like how I can lift people from hardship through innovation and science. And that's also give me a light to look for and you know, calm me a bit down and make me focus, you know, on my goal. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy life. No, I'm saying, I think when you have a goal in life, and it doesn't matter what, how big or small, and you're passionate about it, it take your time, you make you focus, make you like a magnet, attract other people like you. And then it's very important to surround yourself among good people who believe in you. Doesn't matter if they know about you, what you do. It's like, they don't have to be a scientist or a professor or have a high degree. But people who believe in your goal in life and trust you.
How do you do that? How do you surround yourself by good people, people who want good for you? What are your criteria for that?
Very simple criteria. People who are really, their life has a meaning, you know. Even I said, like, it doesn't have to be rich or poor. It doesn't have to be they graduate from a best university. No, people who believe that they have to leave something behind, because this earth is not for eternity. We're here for a purpose. We need to enjoy it as well. But if you have this type of, you know, people, of group of people around you, you'll be attracted to them, because you mentioned about the word when you introduced me about influence. How do you define influence? What is mean by influence? You know, influence is like something you don't ask for. It's as a result about what you do in life, because this people give you that. People give you the trust. It's built on trust. People resonate about what you do in life, so they give you that power. They give you that influence. They love to hear from you. They love to listen to you. Because if you are really sincere and have something beautiful thing in life, you become, without realizing, a star, guiding somebody else to better life without realizing. And that's why you see when people say you have influence. I mean, I didn't realize that until I see the young girls and people want to ask me, how do you ask me for some advices? Because, you know, certain group people, they resonate with you. They can see that, you know, you're a female, you're coming from a different culture. Some people resonate from all different levels. You're a scientist, you're doing something with social innovation, you're not looking after material stuff. So there's different level of people be attracted to you. And that's why I attract people. And Manal, you know, sometimes you think that you have good friends.
And you don't.
Think happen in life, and then it's like it that will happen to us. Like sometimes you go through difficulties, and that's something to shake people around you, shake you as well, your strength, your belief, your inner core, and then it will pick the right thing.
But
then
talking,
there will be the right people will stick around, and they you carry on. And you build different type of friends.
Talking about influence is very interesting, because you told me, yeah, it's all about trust. And at the first, you know, you just think maybe influence is about power, is about money, is about name, when you have a name. So, you know, no, for you, it's trust. Is this true?
You a good, amazing question, because you can be influenced. You can be an artist and influence. You could be a leader. You could be head of state. You could be a writer. You have influence in people.
Of course.
But that's type of, you know, when you reach to that level, it's given to you because who you are.
Your because education, of you,
you know, if you're head of a state or a leader or to lead a change, you will be so many people, they will be resonate about who you are and what you want to achieve in life. And they found similarity between their goal and your goal. And then you have influence.
Did you look for influence when you started at the beginning in the scientific world? Because I feel like if you have no influence, it's very difficult to succeed in this field. And so many other fields, actually. It helps to become more successful. And, you know, people listen to you. People like, they listen to you because you're important. You have influence. What do you think about it? That?
I love your question, because that's what I was seeking when I was starting Diagnostic for All with Harvard.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting something non-profit. And, you know, coming from a nanotechnology lab, biotechnology was, you know, that's, you know, material world and people looking, you know, drug companies for billions and things like that. And I'm coming, designing a team, scientific and also business, trying to set up a nonprofit company.
Hmm.
And how can I do that if I'm not going to be recognized? So that's why I had to go through 2 years of rigorous exercise with my team to enter two competitions, Harvard Enterprise, Social Enterprise, and MIT 100K, to have, to win, so that I can have influence to change people's opinion about, you know, to vote for nonprofit, to saving lives is also economic empowerment. So sometimes you need to be recognized to be able to lead you. To make it life easy a little bit, because I could raise fund, people could see it's scientifically, you know, sound, because you won. And then when you talk to investor and talk to, you know, fundraiser, then they'll see that you achieve at least, you know, the minimum score.
Yeah.
So in a start, and when I started, like when I wanted to be a scientist, I didn't look at I want to be powerful. It never come across my mind one day I will be in Cambridge.
Really?
Or yeah. No. I read the book about discovery of DNA between King's College and Cambridge University, but it's like if you're looking at the moon and you think that this exists, but I never thought one day I will be there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to follow my dream to become a scientist. And unfortunately, during that time, you cannot study pharmacology. Not pharmacy, pharmacology as independent subject. Mm. You have to do medicine. So I did 1 year of medicine and I passed and everything, but I didn't feel Hayat is there. I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to understand more about drugs. How can I make it less side effect? How can I improve it? How can I relieve pain?
Yeah.
And then I asked my family to send me to London.
We will talk about that, of course. You know, Hayat, so many people are looking for their purpose, their why. And I would love to know, did you find yours? Why are you doing what you do today?
I did find, I mean, mine, but I also always feel I haven't achieved whatever I want yet.
Not yet, really?
No. No.
What is your main goal?
When you see people suffering, when you, you know, especially developing country, my heart for developing country. And developing country, as you can see, facing many challenges, war, famine, viruses. I'm sorry to say depression from the east and the west. And if any catastrophe happened, like flooding or earthquake, many sector can affect it badly. You know, what happened with COVID, the health sector was, you know, affected, and definitely straight away education sector, agriculture sector, businesses and everything. So for me, you know, innovation is the mother of necessity. And I see the needy, the most deprived from the benefit of science and technology.
Mm.
So when I see more like how can science relieve pain, lift people from hardship, give them the tools to be in control of their future, I feel I could achieve. I mean, I'm doing that and still so much to do. And that's why I was, when I was growing, my heroes were, I mean, they're still people who make a difference to the world.
Who are your heroes?
Of course, there are, you know, the Muslim and Arabic scholars, Al-Khwarizmi, Ibn Sina, Ibn al-Haytham, Marie Curie, of course, Einstein, you know, people who make a difference in the world. Doesn't have to, not all of them to be in, you know, on a wheel of science. Could be medicine, physics, and you know, architect, you know. But I wanted to be like them, and that's why I was keen to find out why I couldn't see anybody look like me. As a little girl, it's important to see a role model.
That's why I'm very happy to have you on this episode, actually, because I feel like we don't see so many people like you, especially in France, especially in the media in general, you know. So that's why it's very important to me. I feel like our listeners will be very inspired. And just if you can have just an idea to a little girl or little boy that's, yeah, this is possible. She did it. I can do it as well.
Yeah.
I think we win. I mean, just if we, one person can succeed in their field, I mean, yeah, it's a success for us. And I really want to talk about your childhood, because Hayat, you grew up in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Can you paint like a picture of your childhood?
I came from a very traditional family.
Okay.
Where eight of us, like two boys, six girls. I'm number six in the family. So two younger sisters than me.
Okay.
And we grew up an enormous love for knowledge and learning, and, you know, very close. You know, my mom and dad very much toward education. And just when you say tradition family, the values and, you know, ethics and etiquette and all of that has to be, especially people from Mecca. We are very, my mom very adamant about how you bring you up, you know, how to cook, how to clean, how to sew. And also when you study, you have to study very well. And I grew up between Mecca, Riyadh, and Taif, because Taif is the south of Saudi Arabia. And when in the summertime, my father used to work in the Ministry of Endowment for the King Palace. And we spent all our holidays in mountains. So wow. It was completely beautiful freedom. We go from the morning, we come out from the house, we play with the butterflies, we look at the, you know, flowers and as a group, and it's so safe. So I grew up in very easy, very nice bond between family. It wasn't like my father and mother, you know, put so much pressure, you have to get that grade, as now you see mothers now going crazy about that. No, for my father, he very important for him that you pass. Mm. And of course, if you get good mark, even better, because he can take you to the best toy shop. And I used to refuse to play with dolls.
No dolls for you.
Not me. Give me something to draw, like, you know, making a phone or making anything, electric or Lego. That's my cup of tea.
Okay.
So I grew up very traditional, you know, love life, respect my elderly, love my schools, because when I told my father I want to be like my heroes, he told me in his simple language, Hayat, with education you can achieve anything in life. So I loved my school. I know it's weird, but I loved my school. I loved my teacher. And then when I finished high school and I wanted to do pharmacology, I talked to my father. It was not easy. So I took 2 years to convince them.
2 years?
Mm. And I did a year of medicine and to show them that.
How did you convince him? Because 2 years is a long, way.
You know, I'm very close to him. I was very close to him. So when he used to make wudu, I'll bring him the towel.
Very specific time. You have to be strategic.
And I didn't have to change. I didn't have to really convince him. He knows knows education, new education, very important. But he was worried about me to live into different culture.
Yeah, he was afraid, like a dad.
Different language.
Yeah.
Different education standard. Different, you know, everything different. But he trusted me. He brought me, and both him and mom brought you well. I think reading, when you read a lot, you will have a perception a little bit about what you're going to face. Of course, not the same as like you there in experience, but at least you have a previous information to control your action a little bit. To know.
When you read a lot?
I do read a lot.
Yeah. What is your favorite book? Like a book which really, was very important in your mind, education, something you really want to share with us. Like you have to read this book.
Actually, I cannot say, Manal, because I do read I don't only read in science. I read in also in inspiring stories. I like also anything to intellectual in terms of story, like a police story. So it's not. But for me to I just read the last week an amazing book. And why is amazing book? It's called The Journey to the Light.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Lina Farajallah. What is unique about this book is about a female. She had everything in life, very smart. She is the only child. And she got married. And when she got married, she got pregnant. She discovered that she has a genetic disease, mm-hmm. made her blind. And through that book, a journey, how can science and innovation find the cure? And she keep going. She never lost hope.
So we always come back to science and innovation, right?
Look at us. Yes. I mean, you with the microphone, with your laptop, you know.
But yeah, you're right.
The amazing about the story, she's a true story. She's young. She didn't give hope. Her husband went amazing, give her all the support. And she cope about her new life without, she cannot see, but now she have a baby. She can cook. She can clean by her. I mean, even though she cannot see, and she always positive about one day I will see my baby again.
Mm.
Because when she had her baby, she cannot see him.
Mm.
So that's an amazing book.
Yeah.
Touching all levels of life, friendship. Parenthood.
Hard time. Challenges.
Belief.
Spirituality,
faith.
Maybe.
Faith, of course.
Spirituality is something very... What role spirituality has in your life? It is something important to you?
What make me? You know, when I get up in the morning, I get up very early before Fajr. That's my time. An hour
every
and
day?
Every day. An hour and a half, that's my time. Because if you're a believer, I'm a believer, I'm a Muslim. I believe this is not eternity. I know that I'm here for a purpose. So I'm starting my day. What will be the plan of my day? Maybe tomorrow I won't be here. So what will be in this 24 hours? So that's just the energy I get from, you know, to get rid of any negativities. And after I do my prayer and everything, I do every day yoga. Like
really?
Half an hour.
Like me, we have something in common.
And then I
love
go to
yoga.
The gym for 2 hours.
Okay.
But the gym, I do it every other day because I feel like if I do it every day, my muscles still time to recover.
Yes, of course.
For me, exercise and spiritual exercise. And that's very important. The mind.
Yeah, the connection between the mind and the body.
And then after
is very
that,
important.
I like to spoil myself a good breakfast.
What kind of breakfast? What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, I don't want to say this, but I'm very naughty today.
I mean, you can.
I had like kwasa, chocolate, beautiful baguette, cheese, fruit, and you know, Paris.
Paris. You have to enjoy the pleasure.
But I cannot live without my green tea, especially jasmine tea.
Yeah, jasmine tea. Yes. No, that's your guilty pleasure.
Yes.
I mean, guilty pleasure. It's a quite healthy pleasure.
It is very important.
Is it difficult to be a Muslim when you work in the science world with so many different people, you know, in a different country? Is it difficult to practice your own religion in this case?
An amazing question. And so when I came to this field of science in London and Cambridge, a lot of people told me after 3 months, I'm going to give up. Because science doesn't go with religion. Because they told me, Hayat, every answer you have, you say God, Allah, you know, he created that. And so you have no room for exploration or innovation. I said, it's not true. And I said, that's give me peace and a good base for me. And I said, for you, we are here to discover why these things, like why this the cell is made this way, why we have this type of protein, but not here to discover who made it. For you, Mother Nature, for you, God, for me, Allah, is still an extraordinary power beyond your control. I'm not here to discuss who made it. I'm here to discuss why it made this way. So we, as a scientist, we can analyze, we can observe, we can conclude, we can question, we can challenge and come with a better understanding so we can improve our life. And for me, the only thing I could do is walk the walk, not only walk the talk. And that's give you credibility. Then my professors, any challenging project, they give it to me because he knows that I can cope with anything. And funny enough, Manal, when I've been chosen by National Geographic as a major explorer, I had a lot of requests from Catholic schools. Because Catholic school worried about their children when they go and do science because it's fashionable to be atheist. You know, that's the norm. So they worried if they encourage their children, you know, to become a scientist, they would lose their faith. So they asked me to come and give a talk. How did I manage, you know, keeping my religion the way I wanted and, excel in science?
What a beautiful collaboration.
It is. So, I mean, so what I'm saying that each one of us, it doesn't matter if you're atheist or not, you believe in extra power or even if you not believe is a belief itself. So we're not challenging, I'm not challenging your God, or you're not challenging my God. We are challenging about why he's been created this way to be able to understand, you know, the diseases, how we can make a better cure, how we can make drugs less side effect, how we can tap to our amazing human body. You know, the creation of a human being is fascinating. Still we're learning. Still we're learning. When you learn about the neurons and how the brain works, is out of this world. It's still like, it's like we only know a little bit drop in the big ocean. Because that's magnificent. That's why I love biotechnology, because biotechnology is how we use living organisms to improve our life. So it's been خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقوي. We've been created for the best form. So try to understand that type of form so we can go back and, you know, enhance and modify and create cure and understanding more about the makeup of our own body.
But you know, Hayat, is very funny because when I'm listening to you, I feel like people in science are actually open-minded to religion, right? Maybe more than education or education field or fashion field or something else. Do you feel the same?
For me, definitely. And as a Muslim, the more I learn, the more you know. The more you become humble about life, the more you know about how this life, how this universe has been created.
But, I mean, they listen to you. They respect your choice, right?
Sure, because as I mentioned, the only thing you do, you walk the walk. If you are a believer and you because so many verses in the Quran and, Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask us to question, to analyze, to explore, to contemplate, you know. So that's in our nature, as this is the makeup of me, as the Islamic culture.
For you, of course.
So you have to have this open mind.
Yeah, but I know so many scientists don't want to hear about Allah or God or something like that. Mm-hmm. For them, it's just like, no. What are you talking about? It's just not an option for them. You know what I mean? So
because
that's why I'm very curious to know how did you manage it?
Because of the norm, as I mentioned, that's, fashionable to be atheist. So for me, because I'm a believer, I know that I'm here for a purpose. And that's why I've been asked always to question. We don't follow things blindly, you know, even your religion. You know, if what happened if my mom and dad not Muslim? So you always need to question. to know who you are, what is your relationship between, you know, you and other people and the universe, what happened after, you know, when we leave this world. So that type of, curious mind, make me love more science, make me love more how when I discover more something and learn about something, is blow my mind away, because, you know, doesn't matter how much we know, we know a little bit. So that's the type of thing that make me even closer to my religion.
Hayat, you left Saudi Arabia at a very young age to study in the UK, right? I would love to know, what was the hardest part in this adventure, the most difficult aspect of that experience?
I was rejected.
Rejected?
Mm.
Wow. Strong word.
When I left home, I asked to have a year off. They said, you cannot do that in medicine. So I already been expelled because I want to take a... And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to carry on here or not. So I want to take a year off. They said, you cannot. If you want to take a year off, you consider yourself no longer, medical students. So I had to take that risk. And when I come here, I was rejected by everyone because my English was almost zero. My Saudi, unfortunately, qualification not good enough for the UK universities. So they asked me to go back 4 years ago. I didn't mind. Because for me, a year is just a number. If they want me to go back and do the A-levels, I do it. I have to learn English, I will do it. But what is, and I said, it's like, when you're making a cake, okay? This is the recipe. I look at the ingredients. And I said to myself, all the universities are filled with people just like you and me. So if they can make it, I can. So what do you need from me? And I just took that recipe and went for it. I didn't care about if I'm going back 4 years. I didn't care about, I will be older than the other people in the class to do the A-levels again. For me, I'm here to learn. Very eager to learn, very thirsty, hungry to learn. And I loved it. And then when I went to King's College, I became second year student representative. And then I graduated with honors. And straight away from there, I went for PhD. Because if you graduate with honor, you will have you didn't have to do master. They give it to you as an honorary. And I did my PhD in biotechnology in Cambridge. Because I wanted to discover, I want to be in diagnostic field. I want to design sensor to understand about our makeup. Because what we have is still, they are not that, well advanced or limited. They look for certain things. But if you want to be more, you need to really go beyond the existing. You need to lead the way, open more possibilities. And that's my nature, always leading something. Yeah.
Did you always have this strong mindset? How did you build it? Because you were young when you left your country, your hometown, to go to the UK. Rejection, new culture,
I think the way they brought me, I had so much confidence in myself. And of course, in Allah first.
Mm-hmm.
But I believed in myself that I can make it. I'm no less than anyone else. And that's important to have. I have something to learn. I was not perfect to go to university, okay. But I believed in myself, I can make it.
You were confident enough.
Enough to know I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be able to learn, be able to pass my A-levels, be able to go to university. I think
it comes from
their belief.
It comes from your education, your parents.
From my Islamic education, from my parents, from, my heroes, what I learned, Manal, is nothing at all easy in life. Even if you get up in the morning, if you want to have the perfect shape or the healthy, glowing skin, whatever, it doesn't come to you.
No, nothing is easy.
You have to work for every single thing.
And so hard.
But that's, if you want a good life.
Yeah.
If you want to scotch potato, you can be that. But it's come with another complexity. So for me, I think that you believe in yourself is crucial to anything to face in life. And the challenge doesn't go away. It just even elevate to different level. It get more complicated.
If you can share like three tips, very easy tips to for everyone who are listening to be more confident, what can you share with us? Because it's a big topic, you know, being confident.
One day I was scared in the evening when I was little. My father saw me crying. He came and he said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "I'm scared." He said, "Scared of what?" So that's what I was little. Look, he was his child talking to me.
Yeah.
He's saying, and he said, "What is the worst could happen? To die? We're all going to die. That's a fact."
Mm.
So do not fear anything. So he taught me not to fear except God. So I think my tip to people, my tips, do not fear the unknown. I mean, for us, always fear unknown about our risk, how much we're going to earn money, or my health, I'm going to lose something. That's already written.
And we cannot control it.
That's already beyond our control. So enjoy what you have at the moment in your control. How you get educated, how to look after your body, how to be good to your neighbor, how to make a difference in this life, who are in your control, and enjoy that. So my tip, don't fear the failure. Don't fear I'm going not to make it. It's okay if you want to do medicine and it didn't happen. It's okay because there is something else better for you. It's okay.
Yeah. It's but sometimes it's world. So difficult, you know, to
it's
give
so
up.
Difficult. Yeah. I know, but because you see, the human mind is so fascinating. If you trigger that little bit, if you are always have in the middle, do not fall in love or do not fall in love with something 100%. And do not hate everything 100%. Always be in the middle.
Yeah.
See that I want to be like this. And if not happen, what could happen other thing? Because do not attach to your material thing too much because we are made of clay and Allah, Noor and light. So give more to that light. Do not attach to yourself too much to the earth, to the material, because you will dim that light. Be above that. So train yourself. I want to do this. It's okay if it didn't happen. You know, I could do something else because life is so amazing. Life beyond medicine, life beyond science, life beyond politics. If I want to be a lawyer, there's life beyond that. So many amazing things you can do. So I think how you balance that type of attachment.
Yeah.
And to this life. And if you are above this, if you are have a wisdom about it a little bit, you can be in control of failure, disappointments, because you can be disappointed in your friends, your family, your career, whatever. So be balanced so you don't get too disappointed, too hard, and you can get to become arrogant.
Yeah.
Be humble.
Yeah, that's so important. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And this word resonates a lot with me. So yeah, of course. What is people's first reaction when they see you with your hijab?
I never thought about it this way. But people, I'm proud.
You are. But
I am
people's,
proud.
People's reaction?
It makes reaction. You know, sometimes when I go to scientific meeting, they think I'm a tourist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, coming from different culture.
Funny.
You know.
Yeah.
I like to dress and think that people think that you're here to. For. So then when they know that you are here among the experts, then they give you another look. For me, I never want to address that in my mind, that because I look different, we have to look different. We are different.
But that's the question. Does their perception change when they learn more about you, when they know who you are?
Yes, definitely. They when they know that you're okay, you're this and that, and you have achievement, they listen again.
Yeah.
They listen.
Right?
Again. Yes. Yes. They listen again. Because, you know, and that's the all the thing that when you are a humble also person, you know, when you know what is the true meaning of this life. titles, it make you more humble. If you are really attached to your titles, status, you are doesn't mean that's the beginning of a failure. It's mean you are, this person is empty, because if that's what they, you know, what they want in life, the title and you know.
But I remember when I met you for the first time, you told me a story about, you know, people who work in the hotel. Can you please share this story? You know, when you, at the beginning, they don't know who you are. And then they change their mind. They did some research on Google. And you told me, oh, after that, I had a very different reaction from them.
Yes, definitely. You know, when they know who you are and what you are here for, because sometimes, like one day I was in a hotel and then I was asking for something and then my badge dropped.
Mm.
And it's in my badge saying that I'm an ambassador, or sometimes the badge saying blah, blah. And then they went and Google and they saw me, I'm a bit famous. So the reaction is different. But I, in the beginning, it used to bother me because I feel like I don't look at you at all about you wearing or not wearing. You know, I look at you as a person. I look at your mind and your heart. And why they do that, you know, towards me. But then I feel that it's okay because it's good to be different. And also, it's good to make people change their mind after they meet you.
That's the point. I think it's very important for everyone who is different, actually. We are all different.
And,
but, you know,
and I found this, like, when I go to the lecture, and especially with the young girls, they don't know who I am, and I ask them to draw a picture of a scientist. 98, 99, they draw the funny mustache of Einstein, his glasses.
Always the same.
Yeah. Then when I tell them I'm a scientist, they look at you and then, really?
They're surprised.
Yes. And I said, yeah, it doesn't matter how you look, like, where you come from, you know, the mind is the mind. So that's, you break all the stereotype, you break all the barriers. I think that should be, but it's still, you know, Hollywood not doing a good job.
Not at all.
No.
Hollywood and media as well.
Yes. Because, you know, always they look at the scientists like a nutty professors and things like that. And women wearing this, that has to be backwards and things like that. And it shouldn't be the case. You know, that's our, you know, code of clothes as a Muslim. And I'm proud of it. You know, you don't judge people by the way how they look. And I'm proud of it, and I will never change.
I totally agree. I know that you travel a lot around the world. Reaction are always the same, or did you see different reaction when you are, for example, in France, in the UK, or maybe in the Middle East, or, you know?
Of course, when you go to areas like they never see something like that. Like when I go to first, I went one day to Slovenia, I had this voter conference
there. Slovenia?
Slovenia. And they kept me in the airport for 2 hours just looking at me. Because they didn't speak English or Arabic. And they were looking at my passport like this all the time. So I had to smile. And then somebody came to me and said, sorry, you look decent. And shall we take you to your hotel? Because the bus who come and pick me up, they're gone already. So, and, you know, so certain countries, because if they don't see somebody like this before, but now with the social media, with the globalization, we still like a lot of things to do. Like we have a few number of women, you know, look like me, you know, leading scientific institutions. So I'm glad to be offered this, like November last year and 2 months ago, an honorary fellowship from Cambridge University with the college. And that's, for me, is really, I'm proud, because that's very good to empower other young
I was children. So happy for you. Congratulations again, really. Yeah. Yeah, it is a big part of your life, actually. So, yeah, amazing. Yeah. But to be honest, Hayat, I feel like in France, it's still complicated for women who wear hijab, for example. It is complicated. That's why I ask you these kind of questions. And this is something we don't talk about often.
Yes.
Like it's like a taboo, you know. But I don't think so. I mean, everybody can dream. Everybody can work. Everybody can realize their own dream and goals. And that's why I'm very curious to know, how did you get over it, you know?
It's part of me. It's like it's part of my color of skin. It's part of me. That's, you know, that's who I am. And I'm not going to change. Like, you know, somebody come from Africa or somebody come from China. Or
yeah,
somebody,
of course.
Because when you come in a class, and, you know, you see variety. And, you know, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعْبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We create a different culture with different languages, different tongue to know each other and to learn from each other. So it never bothered me at all. Even
really?
Like in the beginning when I was in UK, the boys, especially the boys, they used to have the tea towel around them to, you know, make fun. And I used to smile because for me, you know, this is the way. But after, you know, I excel in study, everybody want to be my friend. I was, you know, so cool. Everybody want to be Hayat Cindy's friend.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, she's cool. She know her work. And so that's break all the barriers, so people cannot see that anymore. People see who you are, and this should be the way. And I don't want women to work that too much in their head. If they're just part of their culture, this is part of their belief, that's it. You know, they have complicated, fine, but do not make it
focus your attention.
A
victim.
A victim.
Yeah,
you are proud of that. That's it. If they don't understand it. It's not end of the world, you know. Just be happy about who you, be content, and do not, you know, feel victim or anything like that. Give them time. If you don't, they change and during your lifetime, fine. Don't. That's, you're not a loser. You know, you conquer your life. I mean, remember when people used to say to me, oh, you don't drive in Saudi Arabia. I said, but never stop me to have a PhD. Now we can drive, so people can stop talking about that issue anymore. But that's the first thing for them to say. You know, when I went with this bike ride with 100 women around Middle East, and somebody come from the scene and said to me, oh, actually from 24 French, 24 plus, he said, how do you want, why you are here with the bicycle and you couldn't drive? I said, why don't you look at the positive things? So, yeah. You know, I cannot drive, but we have cars. Doesn't mean that I'm having a camel or something. But even if I have a camel, it doesn't prevent me from getting my education.
And to be honest, Hayat, it's so stupid. I mean, so it's so annoying. Come on, change the subject. Always the same thing.
Always
the same song.
And the same thing for this one, you know. Do not feel
this is so
victim.
Tiring.
Do not feel like, you know, it's going to prevent you. If you believe in it, that's it. If, you know,
yeah.
Do not always raise your head up.
Yeah, understand.
Do not justify things. Do not explain people about who
important.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean, if they wanted to learn, ask a question with respect, fine. But do not justify and explain your action.
My wish is really that the new generation will be more comfortable with that, with what they are. And I trust. Really, I trust on the new generation. I think they are more open-minded because of the social media and people travel more also. So yeah, I think it will be a new world and I trust them so, so much. Hayat, the Arab world has entered a new era and Saudi Arabia is a key player in this transformation. I would love to know, what is your view of the new Saudi Arabia?
Is an interesting question because remember I was part of the history of Saudi Arabia because where I was selected by the king, one of the first 30 women to be part of the Shura Council, which is like parliamentary cabinets.
Okay.
So for me to be one of the 30 that we witnessed history, the changing and, you know, the fast change happening in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is changing and I'm part of that change. And you're witnessing something happening really, the globalization and opening so many aspects, especially with the 2030 vision agenda, about, you know, especially with the type of, how the education in Saudi Arabia also, matching the workforce. Now we have more one, you know, when I was in the Shura Council, you know, we changed a lot. And of course, the leadership, now we have women to become a lawyer, women can study all type of engineering, women now represent many different positions in Saudi Arabia, tourism now open. People can now come and explore and learn about a culture. So, it's transforming.
And you know what, Hayat? I dream of something very specific. This is on my bucket list. I want to go to Alula.
Alula.
Alula. Sorry for my French accent.
So cute.
Oh my God. What a shame. Alula. Mm. Oh my God. It looks wonderful. It's like a dream.
When I was doing my high school, my best friend, Muna Al-Ghadi, she's from Al-Ula. So when she used to go to the weekend to see her family, because, you know, her parents and, you know, her immediate family live in Jeddah. But when they go to the weekend to see the grandparents, she always come with these pictures. And I was fascinated by it. But now, even more.
Even more.
It's like Al-Batra when we have Al-Jura, but this is more in a bigger scale. Yeah, I would love to have you.
Yeah, of course. This is on my bucket list for sure. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
You live in Cambridge, okay? But I would love to know what are the common perception or misconception, I would say, that people hold about Saudi Arabia?
Always the women issue.
The women issue.
Always the women issue. Because they hear the media.
Mm. Of course.
And they see, but when they more, they know who you are, and when they meet people, and now, mashallah, university is filled with the students from both boys and girls. It's now people understanding what we offer.
What is the reality now for women in Saudi Arabia? You're here, you're from Saudi Arabia, so you can tell us.
Of course. As I mentioned, women now have, you know, more choices for studying. Now, in terms of the workforce, more opportunities, ranking very good position in Saudi Arabia to be part of the Shura Council as an advisor to the king, looking at all the ministry reports and advice and guide and everything. That's even wonderful. So I'm saying that now so much a great opportunity for women in Saudi Arabia in the past and now even more, you know.
Yeah, I feel like we have more opportunities in Saudi Arabia and in the Middle East in general.
Yes.
For women, yes. Right?
Definitely. And if I look at it from the scientific point of view, women around the world, you know, lead scientific institutions. So that
really?
Needs to be changed. Yes, only 30% of the top research and leading institutions are held by women.
Okay.
That's a worldwide issue. Mm. So I would love to see more women, in that type of, you know, deciding the direction of science. Because I believe if we have more women in the direction, deciding the direction of science, we'll have less laser killer beam. We have no nuclear weapon. We have less fast car because women will be moving toward, like when we did this study, we asked women for artificial intelligence. If you have artificial, you have a mass number of AI or robots, what will you use it for? So most men said we use it in a war field because we don't want to lose life. We send it to a war field. Most women, what did they say? They said we use it to test for Ebola. So both of them here saving sight, saving lives, but we need men, and of course we need men and women together decide about the direction, the future of science, the direction of innovation, to have a balance output, outcome, and also more of the flavor of social innovation, touching our societies.
As we said, Saudi Arabia is a main actor in this transformation we can see in the Middle East. What is your vision for Saudi Arabia in 10 years?
I feel I have a great hope. I have a great belief things going to be fast, very well in Saudi Arabia, especially the leadership, he's young and he's love of science and innovation actually is become a pillar for all ministries. You know, we have about NEOM, we have the line, we have now so many the culture for entrepreneurship, the culture of R&D, the culture of biotechnology. It's really attract him and put in so much effort and time and encouraging both, especially the youth, to move toward, because he realized and he understands very well that innovation, science and technology will be great tools for a great economic, you know, also empowerment, because you wanted to have that, you know, talent and creating new opportunity, creating new markets is in the DNA of the young generation. And I think that's what I see moving toward, because you can see, I meet so many amazing young boys and girls from Saudi Arabia. They're always talking about starting their own company. They wanted to start their own business. They wanted to, you know, because they've been sent abroad to learn and come back. We have a great, you know, a scholarship system, you know, sending them Far East, America, Europe, here to South Africa, to Asia, and they're coming back with their talent, and they wanted to make a difference in their own society. So I think the boom of entrepreneurship and boom of starting new businesses and new market in 10 years is going to excel very well.
Because, you know, Hayat, when I see so many football players like Cristiano Ronaldo, Karim Benzema, so many entrepreneurs, so many luxury brands go to Saudi Arabia to build something new, I want to understand what is going on. Maybe I have to go there too, you know? Yes. Maybe is there an opportunity? And
so
I want
much
to.
Opportunity, yeah, in Saudi Arabia.
That's why I really want and to people, understand.
People can see that. So much opportunity, and people can see that. And they can see this leadership really welcoming diversity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Welcoming opportunities and welcoming also. Talent, how we can also localize this talent and build that talent within among young generation to be able for them to carry on and, you know, make a prosperous future.
I mean, it is the place to be right now.
Yes.
Yeah, to build something new, a new chapter.
Exactly.
Last time you were here in Paris, it was for the UNESCO event. And you met the first lady, actually, Brigitte Macron. What was the meeting? How was the meeting?
It was a great meeting. It was anniversary, 25th anniversary of the L'Oréal Woman Achievement in Science.
But how was the meeting with Brigitte Macron?
It was great. I mean, she was, well, exactly when I said hello, she asked me where I'm from. And she was also impressed that from Saudi Arabia, as the way people think. And of course, they introduced me to her as a goodwill ambassadors, and we talked about you know what I do. So what was a great meeting, and then we had to be with her for this dinner to celebrate the life achievement of women, their life achievement in towards science and innovation from all parts of the world, and it was a fantastic night.
And Brigitte Macron was interested by your work?
Well, I didn't have enough time to talk about in depth, but when she found out I'm from Saudi Arabia and I'm a goodwill ambassador, I'm doing biotechnology, she was very taken by that, and she wanted...
Because I saw the picture on your LinkedIn.
Yeah, she was taken by that. Yes,
she... Yeah, she was like surprised.
Well, I'm not surprised.
And I was, yeah, it's so funny. Yes. It's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that you are often invited to big events all over the world. And I would love to know, do these meetings have real impact? Or are they just, you know, social gatherings to eat like amuse-bouche and make pretty pictures? And I really want to have an honest answer from you.
Good question, because I don't go for any meetings. I won't travel and use my time just for social. As I mentioned, I go for a purpose. It has to be really, it has an impact.
Yeah.
if also if I didn't been getting the floor to speak to the decision makers, I won't go. Because for me, I'm not looking for have a nice pictures. That's not my goal. If I don't get a position to speak and the rest of the decision maker can hear me, I mean, maybe they won't do exactly what I advise, but at least they will resonate with them. I will have the platform and voice to tell them, you know, my advice and my findings. And then I won't go. So that's me, you know.
So you are very selective.
Very selective.
When it comes to event meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah. If I don't have a platform for me to say my voice, to give my voice, I won't go.
Yeah. That's so important.
Yes. Time is precious.
So precious.
Yes.
The most precious
things
we have.
I'm not after glamour or after a picture here and there. I mean, I miss so many famous people around the world, but I never ask for pictures. If that happened, it's happened.
Mm.
But not for me to that's my goal.
Yeah. You know, Hayat, you have an amazing journey and you are so inspiring.
Thank you.
In so many things. And I have a private question for you. I really want to ask you this question, but feel comfortable with it. If you want to answer, great. If you don't, I really understand, okay? It's just like, for me, I was thinking, okay, I really want to know. But well, feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
Okay? You don't have kids. I want to know if it's a choice or no.
It's not a choice. Also, it's not I don't want to or I want to. It just happened.
It just happened like that.
It
okay.
just happened. I'm a great aunt.
Yeah.
I think so. And I have so much love and affection for children. That's what, you know, make me want to make a difference in the world, because I can see the children will be the leading, you know, a few years from now. So it just happened.
Yeah, okay. So it's not a choice. Is it something came with your success, your career? I mean, my question is, it is possible to succeed in our career and have kids at the same time?
Definitely. I mean, look at all the women. I mean, success, how you define it? I mean, also, I'm not isolated from my family. You know, I'm the center also of my family. So they depend on me. So if you are also successful among your family, that means if you have children or not, you're still within the, you know, you have a duty.
Mm.
And you have responsibilities. And you just as I mentioned before, when I said to you, you have to hold everything from, you know, from the middle. You have to be balanced. You know, you can't go to extreme. Not because I say, oh, I want to be successful, so no marriage, no children. No, that's not my. Yeah. And also, I'm not cut off from the responsibility as a daughter, as a sister. You know, as a cousin, as a, you know, niece, I'm very much in accord, and that's even beyond having your own children.
Yeah,
because you are in you know, in the middle of, you know, different level, different, you know, age, different needs. So, and also my advice, you know, not because if that you have children, not is a mark for success. It could be so many people have so many children, but they also their failure have to bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
So having children not is not also at all reflection of how good you are or how successful you are, how really you are making a difference in this world at all.
At all, of no, course, I all. Totally yeah.
yes.
agree.
Yes. You know, for example, like you can have many universities and you check, say, I built this year 10 universities,
yeah.
but how many of them is really working? And at the same time, you know, having children is very important, is very demanding,
yeah.
is an amazing job. Mm-hmm. is a unique job and is like powerful as well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen just like bringing a child. It's how you carry them, guide them, protect them, providing them with the right tools mm-hmm. to be also leaders of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that with your own children and you can do that with the rest of the world. You know,
big responsibility.
Yes.
Thank you so much to be honest with that.
Yes.
And I feel like Yeah. It's very important to hear that because not having children is not always easy in this society. And at the same time, I feel like being a housewife is not so cool now. It's like everybody has something to say. If you don't have, it's not good. If you have, either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and very that, complicated.
And we need to come out of this. I mean, I think I hope when the society come out of this stereotyping, you're a housewife. So the way they straight away give you this type of look. Okay, I'm a housewife. You know, it's a great job. I'm a professor. Oh, okay. You're married. Straight away they ask you, you have a husband, you have a children. Oh, that's why you're successful. So we need to come out of that type of stereotype of framing people, of putting them in a frame, of judging. You know, and if you come out of that understanding, you know, each one of us it being fit in the right place, in the right status, in the right, you know, duty, you know, for a purpose, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to, you know, we are easy. And think also things that I learned from being in England, being in America, being in Saudi Arabia. Stop being judgmental.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't judge, because you every situation it has its own reasons, it has its own criteria. You cannot have a blueprint and a frame. If it's a housewife, she has more time and she has nothing to do, though she cannot think. Or if she's have a career, she's going to neglect her husband and she cannot have. And like some people say, you travel a lot, so that's why you're not married. I said, well, I'm not married because I'm traveling because I'm not married, of course. It's like, you know, it's like you're fasting, you know, if you don't break your fast, oh, that's why you eat, because yes, I break my fast. So people always, you know, try to frame you or put you in a, like a frame,
yeah,
and it's not right because the world is changing even then and now. I mean, you know, your job is your job. You're amazing, you're beautiful, your talent, whatever you decide to do in life, it has definitely a meaning.
And now that we are comfortable enough,
yes,
I want to know and be honest, Hayat, what is the positive part to be child-free, like the really positive way?
Well, I can see that with my nieces and nephew. I love them. I call my sister, send them down, I play. And
of
everything.
Course, we love them, but
and
not always.
And then when they come to the evening, I said, please take them back. I need to have my rest.
That's the good part, right? Your freedom also.
I think also we need to come out of a bit from that. What does freedom mean?
Yeah.
You could have nothing to do and you're always a prisoner of your thoughts.
What is your definition of freedom?
Oh, that's a good question. Freedom when you are not biased and bind by certain, thoughts, negative thoughts can control your enjoy life. You could be very poor in a room of 10 people and we will be there so much freedom and happy, and you can see you own the world. And sometimes you can be in a great palace and you feel a prisoner of your thoughts and misery, and you cannot have this free spirits. So it depends for me how you are really away from your any negativities and enjoy the water, enjoy the walk, enjoy the pastry, anything simple, enjoy. And that's completely, completely, utterly freedom.
Wow. Yes. I remember, Hayat, when we first met, you told me that your greatest wish was to leave something behind. And so my question is, what is the one life lesson you will teach all children in the world?
Have a purpose. Be concerned about not only yourself, about your neighbor, your friends, your family.
Mm.
be part of the society.
Yeah.
You know, if you are know how to live part of society, we become, you know, different the way how we treat each other. Gentle, kinder, less judgmental, harsh, less harsh, using the right words, forgive, forget, give people benefit of the doubt. No backbiting, no, you know, negativities. If we are feel like we, you and me together, like one bond, I think that's how I want to treat our children. Be part of society, not to feel solo and me. I think that's also as a, you see, parent protecting the children, they play with certain people. Of course, you need to choose the right manners and values, but make them their feeling people, give them something to do for society. You know, not, you know, isolate them because of a certain class or certain color or certain language.
What a great life lesson. Thank you so much, Hayat. So Hayat, I've asked you to bring a special meaningful object that means a lot to you and tell us the story behind it. So I'm curious, what did you want to share with us today?
You know, when you ask me this question, I always have it with me. So I didn't have to bring it especially for the show.
Okay.
I always wear it.
Interesting.
My Rolex watch. Please, don't misunderstand me.
I do not.
Of course, when the minute I see my Rolex, people say, ah, expensive watch. No. You see in this watch, in the back, saying the jury 2014. I was selected by Rolex to be for the Social Enterprise Award as a judge.
Wow.
And why I this money pressure to, because this is for me is a symbol of innovation, quality, and purpose. Why I'm saying that? Because they give that as a gift for the jury and is very iconic, heritage, oyster, all type of watch. It doesn't have a diamond, but it's very old collection. So when I was in the jury, I was fascinated by how Rolex, as a leading institute in this type of, you know, field, making watches, went all the way and spent all this money to select the right candidates for the prize. So what is this prize? It's like how we going to award individuals who are making difference in their society in the area of science and innovation.
Okay.
So we were eight judges.
Eight.
But before that, when we arrive in Switzerland and they show us, you know, they send us all the, you know, the resume and the project of the individual they selected, I was surprised to see that the Rolex team, who've been responsible for this award, they went all the way to, you know, Africa, all the way to very rural area in Asia, very dangerous area in India, in a developing country, to go be closer to the individual, the inventor, to know about their background, how they're really affecting the society. So this is spending money. And this is a great example of when you have somebody like influential like Rolex, a leader like Rolex, spending the right money for a purpose, the impact is huge.
Yeah.
And then when we are, you know, as a jury, we went through very rigorous, purely looking for change agent. No politics involved, no color, culture or religion or nationality were involved, purely about how this person or how she, this person is making a difference. So I felt like so proud to be part of this. And of course, you know, for me to visit the R&D, the research and development, making in-house the, in, you know, the manufacture. And that's why it's expensive, because they're looking for quality
and innovation. This is a whole experience.
And, and that tag of how they're going to select. And I said, when you are a leader and you have money, and when you put that the money in the right causes, perfect marriage. The impact is huge because it has a purpose. And I felt proud to be part. And that's why for always when I wear this, because it represents for me innovation, quality, and purpose.
Wow.
That's why.
Beautiful
like
story. Thank you so much for sharing
nice
that. But the watch is beautiful. If I want to have the same, can I do buy?
Well, I'm done. No, Manal, because they told us it's iconic. It's very old, but you know, maybe you know, you can talk to them, but I don't know.
It's limited edition, right?
It's very limited edition.
My God. I have to go to Rolex to see.
Well, maybe your husband can buy you the most expensive one with the diamond.
No, I mean this one.
No,
this, because it's so meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I always wear it, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you so much, Hayat,
You're welcome. This
story. You know that we have a closing tradition in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I will ask you 5 questions, which is very quick questions to answer.
Okay.
It lasts like 2 minutes maximum. And the goal is really to have fun, you know, discover you in the other way. Okay.
Okay.
So 2 minutes, 5 question. Are you ready?
I am.
Let's go. What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
I do my prayer.
What was the latest book you read?
The Journey to Light by Lina Frajala.
What is the most recent financial folly you made?
I made perfume.
A perfume? Which one?
Very expensive.
We cannot know?
Yes, it is very expensive. It's about $500, you know.
I mean, you deserve it.
Mm.
How do you cope when you're feeling really, really down?
I go and I pray.
And bad habits you're trying to kick?
Oh, yes. Overthinking.
What is the best advice you have ever received?
Enjoy the unknown.
And the worst advice you wish you hadn't taken?
Why you have to work hard, you know, have fun, you know, people like to demotivate you.
Mm.
You know, always like people demotivate the way you look, the way you look, talk, where you come from. So I treat my mind is like a garden. So
what is something you believe in that others find crazy?
Smile.
What task do you always procrastinate on? Something you always say, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll do it tomorrow, and after tomorrow. And you never do it.
No, I don't have that.
Really?
Yeah.
Always never procrastinate?
The task, you have to do it straight away.
What's the one luxury you can't live without?
I for me, jasmine tea is a luxury. I can't live without.
Do you have any significant regrets?
Yes. I think trusting too quickly. Trusting people too quickly.
Too quickly. Where do you retreat to recharge your batteries?
Where? I love to go for walks. I love countryside.
If you had €100 and nothing more, where would you invest in?
Perfume. It has to be perfume.
Oh, damn. What is your biggest fear?
Not leaving legacy behind.
What bothers you the most about other people?
Short vision.
What do you ask when you pray?
Forgiveness.
What's the most Saudi thing about you?
Oh, my cooking and my cooking.
And what's the most British thing about you?
My cup of tea.
For sure. When was the most recent occasion you had to tell a little white lie to someone?
Oh, my mom.
Your mom?
Yeah, because she get worried about me traveling a lot. So I sometimes I tell her, you know, because for me, just I say I'm taking the train to visit my friend, and then she discovered yesterday I'm in France. So for her to travel to France, so for me, I took the train to see you. So I want her, because she's going to a wedding,
yeah,
and I don't want her to worry about it until she finished the wedding. And then when she finished the wedding, she had a good time. She said, "Mom, I came to see my friend. I'm in Paris."
Well, it was a good life. What is your nostalgic trigger, like a Proust Madeleine, that takes you back to your childhood?
Special the orange cake.
Orange cake.
My mom, she used to bake it for us, not in the oven, it's like on the stove, and it was to be the best. When I come from school, I smell orange cake, the best thing.
If you could have lunch with anyone without limits, who would it be?
Oh, I could do anything to have lunch with my father again. He passed away.
What's your favorite Saudi dish?
Salik.
Salik?
Yeah, rice.
Okay, good to know. According to people who are closest to you, what's your greatest quality?
I'm there, like in any disaster, I'm there. Like, what do you call it? I don't know.
You're like a rock. You're very loyal as well.
Loyalty, yeah.
And what do you think is your most significant imperfection?
So sometimes I work hard to train myself not to be too emotional. Mm-hmm.
And what's the last thing you do before going to bed?
I like to see something funny.
To see something funny?
Yeah, yeah. I like to, you know, listen to any comedy or anything, something funny. Make me laugh before I go to bed.
Thank you so much, Hayat, for answering all my questions. How did you feel with this fire question session?
Very good. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't have all the answers for you, but I like it because it's like spontaneous.
I love it because I feel like we really discover someone in a other way.
Yes.
More fun, more, you know?
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. And so you are a big perfume lover.
I make sometimes combination, so I mix them. That's my...
You have your own smell.
Yes.
So good. I have last one for you.
Yes.
I really want to know what is the project that you are working on right now, like currently, that is very important to you.
I think after I've been working in a developing bank, and I've seen how developing countries suffer from getting good quality advices. So I started my own consulting firm. It's called Institute for Quality IQ, really to provide, you know, people with the guide advice in social, financial, and also meet sustainability. At the same time, I want to give them practical advice with executions. In the area of education, science, technology, innovation, health, evaluation, social Islamic finance, and of course, below economy. So this is my now baby, because, you know, so many consulting firm at the moment, you know, abusing a trust, and you wanted to really be tapping to the people energy, the local people energy, and customize for them the right advice, be able to also to execute it. Is no point to give you pay you a million and then you give me a beautiful handout and I cannot practically, it's not, you know, sound. So that's why it's like for IQ is talking to the people, living with people, drive the policy with people, give them the execution that within own capacity and performance and, you know, infrastructure. And then, like, I feel like we're going to bring a new type world of old order of how we can be called consulting firm in the future. So real, transparent, with good advice and execution type of consulting firm.
Amazing project. How can we help you?
Just press the word, and we need projects. We need to show people how we are capable of.
Okay.
You know, because we are unique type of consulting firm, because we're using the tools of science, technology, innovation to drive our fact and study and analysis, and to see how can science, technology fill the gap to give the customer or our partner the economic and financial and social and sustainability. So
I will share the link of the Institute of Quality for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Hayat. I just want a last one question for you, and that's it.
Great.
Who you would love to see in the next episode of Le Manal Show?
Oh, Manal, always your guests are great.
Thank you. But if you have to pick one, like someone who really want to see in the next one.
I really wanted to see people who are really coming from developing country, who are really true entrepreneurs and use their talent with the minimum thing and make a difference. I wanted to hear more because I meet them a lot. I set up a fund previously with the Islamic Development Bank about transformation and also with the treating women with, you know, from breast cancer and cervical cancer. And you hear about the great story of the local come up with an amazing. So we need to have more of them coming out. As you mentioned, media is important to see that people just like you and me made a difference in their own society. We need to have more emphasis on this type of people who are true change agent, but they didn't have the you know, the power to be be explored by the media or people to know about them.
Yeah.
So we'd love to see more people, you know, like that. Doesn't have to be young, doesn't have to be old, but people who really love their community and they're proud about what, you know, what they can do for them.
Get it. Thank you so much, Hayat.
You're welcome.
Thank you for this amazing conversation.
Thank you, sweetheart.
And see you soon in Jeddah, right?
Yes, of course. Al-Ula.
Yes.
Love to have you.